Today on Compassion Radio.
They put me in my room and they surrounded me with the soldiers, and I was really crying my tears. And the first time I pray after all these years, I refused God. I said, Lord, I repent. And I told them, if you help me, I will give all my life to you and I want to serve you.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. A short time back, Bram spoke at length with Reverend Joseph Zorob, a man who pastors more than one church in Beirut. From an unbelievably violent childhood, to feeling but resisting the call of God as a young man, to the present day as a pastor, Joseph's exciting testimony will encourage you as you hear of God's faithfulness in his life. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part one of this conversation.
I'm sitting across the table from Reverend Joseph Zorob here in Beirut area. What a fascinating place this has turned out to be, Pastor. And it's a real privilege for me not just to talk with you, but to talk with you in your own home. You invited me over for dinner tonight, and I'm grateful for that.
You are most welcome, brother.
Thank you. And we have Natalie, his daughter, sitting across the table from us as well, watching, make sure I don't say something silly. Your daughters are lovely. We had a great time the past couple of days getting to know your 11-year-old daughter, Christy.
Yes.
And you and your wife are pastoring a number of congregations here throughout the Lebanon Western Slope, and there are congregations that are, you say, Filipino
church and two Ethiopian church.
Ethiopian churches, too.
Yes.
There are quite a few of those that are living in Lebanon now as well.
Yes, yes. Farmers and Filipino and Armenian.
Armenian.
And we are serving with Lebanese and Syrian also.
And you have a large Syrian congregation as part of this, which is kind of a miracle in itself, and I want to get to that story soon. Can you tell me, Pastor, how it was that Jesus came to you?
It's a long story, but I'll try my best to make it short and simple. I live in a Christian family. I'm born in 1970, in 20th of May. The civilian war in Lebanon started in 1975.
So about the time you were just getting ready to go to school,
yes.
The entire country is now at war.
Yes, the war started, and it was a very tough and hard war. And I don't have chance to live my childhood because it was very violent war, and Muslims try to come, like Palestinians come to kill us. And one time I wake at night, I hear my neighbor, he was screaming. And I don't realize what's happening, but he was screaming and he need a help. And then when we wake in the morning, I know that they come and kill him and cut him in pieces with a knife and put him in a bag and put him in front of his house. And when I saw this, it shocked me a lot. And
how old were you when you had to deal with that kind of trauma?
About 6 or 7 years old.
And this person that was killed, your neighbor, was
my neighbor, yes,
an adult or a child?
Yes, he's old.
Okay,
he's a father for 4 kids, I think. And they come and kill him, and this bring anger in my heart against Islam.
I would understand.
Yes, and I hate Islam a lot in this time. And my toy was the guns and the bombs, because I live in a civilian war, and all what I remember, we are running and hiding from building to building and under stairs. And rockets come and hit our buildings, and a lot of people die from our neighbors on the street. It was very, very dark days,
yes.
And a lot of people die every day. And some days we don't have food to eat, sometimes no electricity, no water. For a few days, 5 days, 6 days, then some of the neighbors tried to bake some bread, to give us to eat. It was very hard life for me, because I can't live my childhood. I don't have toys. I can't have activities. Just all what I, when I open my eyes on this life, I'm running from place to place, escaping. And when I go to school, the Christian militia come and take us to start training how to use guns, because they're preparing us to fight against Islam. And this is affect me a lot, because bring like to be violence, holding guns in this age, and go training, and always show us movies about killing and how to how they are doing their missions, like training us. And many of my friends dead also. And then I go with militias and start fighting, and I was about 14 or 15.
Okay, let me hold you there for a second, Pastor, because what you're describing is the image that the West has of all that's going on in the madrasas, raising up fighters either for some kind of jihad, whether it's with the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or the Nusra Front here now in Syria. We assume that it's only an Islamic phenomenon. It's really not. This is about tribalism.
Yes.
So in your tribe, you were coming out of a traditional Christian background. You weren't a believer or follower of Jesus at this time, but you were being indoctrinated into a culture of violence, to hate the people that used to be your neighbors.
Yes.
And you're saying you come into your young manhood, your adulthood, knowing nothing but hate and violence. So obviously that's got to be hugely disruptive in your psyche, in your heart and mind.
Yes, yes.
And you've seen so much death.
Yes, I refused Jesus Christ. I refused to believe in him. And I was fighting to protect Christian at the same time. Because I born in this situation, I feel that Christianity is very weak. To go to church and to be like a missionary or a servant, that means I am weak and they're going to kill me. I must hold gun and fight. And many times my father was praying for me and leading me to Jesus. I say, I don't want Jesus. And even I go to Sunday school and I know all the stories in the Bible. I remember my mother every day, she take me to bed and pray with me when I was a child. But for me, inside me, I pray, but still this anger, this hate against Islam. And one time, the Syrian explode my house. They send Iraq and they destroy all my house.
So the Syrians were engaged in this war now. They
yes.
came in, they started occupying the
yes,
eastern
it was 100
Lebanon.
Day. It's raining rockets. 100
days. 100 straight days of rockets from Syria.
Rockets. Every day, thousands.
So about the age you were, around 15 or so, about 10 years into this war,
yes.
then your house gets destroyed.
Yes. At the last day from the this war, they decide to stop the rockets, and the last rocket come in my house.
The
and
last
I was
one.
A child.
Oh,
and this time we are closing the door and going out, going down to the stairs, and the rocket come and destroy everything, and I fly and see all the furniture is flying on the air, and I was screaming and shouting, "Dad, our house destroyed, Dad," and I was crying, and all my face dust and my mouth dust. I can't breathe. And I don't have any clothes, nothing
clothes
to wear.
Off your body.
Yes, everything gone. And I like refugees.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again when it's convenient for you just by opening up your favorite browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com.
We journey on to see our Savior face to face. Close, we're getting close. Our joy is rising higher with each step we take. Forward on to Jesus. We are the people of the cross.
We are the people of the cross.
We choose Christ and count all else as lost.
Christ and count all else as lost.
We won't be shaken, hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. If not for grace, we would be lost without the promise that you gave. Praise be ever praised. Your Spirit burns within us brighter every day.
Brighter every day.
Forward on to Jesus. Are the people of the cross.
We are the people of
the cross. We choose Christ and count all else as lost.
We choose Christ and count all else as lost.
We won't be shaken, hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. We will be faithful till you lead us. Give us your courage as we finish. We want to hear well done.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria, and that was Sela with a song called People of the Cross. It's off of their latest CD called Unbreakable, which includes that song and a lot of other really great music. Today, when you support this ministry financially, we'll send you your very own copy as our way of saying thanks. Just go to CompassionRadio.com to show your support. Again, CompassionRadio.com.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So about the age you were around 15 or so, so about 10 years into this war,
yes.
Then your house gets destroyed.
Yes, at the last day from the this war, they decide to stop the rockets, and the last rocket come in my house.
The last one.
A child. Oh, and this time we are closing the door and going out, going down to the stairs, and the rocket come and destroy everything, and I fly and see all the furniture is flying on the air, and I was screaming and shouting, "Dad, our house destroyed, Dad!" And I was crying, and all my face dust and my mouth dust. I can't breathe, and I don't have any clothes, nothing
clothes
to wear.
Off your body.
Yes, everything gone, and I like refugees.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, this has got to be a very tough time for you as you see this whole scenario repeat itself just across the valley from us.
Yes.
100 miles away, or maybe like 150 kilometers from here, all of this is going on right now with your neighbors.
The same.
And it's the same people that you hated because they were occupying the eastern part of Lebanon at the time and raining down rockets on your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Is there any room for anything but hate, or is it only going to be hate?
It's a long story, but I like to share it because in my life, you can see that God's hand was very strong. Sure, I hate Syrian in this time. I hate Islam. I hate everything. Even I don't want to serve God. I don't want Jesus, but I want to fight for protect Christian. Mm-hmm. And one time when I was in the war, my father sent me to the army. I go to the army, and because there was no work, and when I finished my training, they put me in the special forces. Mm-hmm. And
the special forces back then meant all the dirty work.
Yes, very hard missions and very violent people. Yeah. That means I am more violent now because I receive a very hard training, and they support the anger in me mm-hmm. to use me more. And
become a tool of the state, whatever's left of it.
Yes.
So what did they send you to do, Pastor?
To fight against, to fight Syrian, to fight Islam, to fight all kind of religions that against the Christian. Yeah. Because we are in Lebanon, 18 religion.
18 of them?
18 religion.
There's a lot of religions in one country.
Yes.
Especially a country that's still bigger than...
More than 50 militias in Lebanon. And all people have guns.
Everybody's got a gun. There's 50 militias. And we're talking about an area that's maybe as large as Los Angeles and Orange County. It's not a big place.
Yes.
Neighborhood by neighborhood, you've got battles going on. And nobody trusts anybody at this point.
Even in the same house, they kill each other. Oh. Brothers and sisters, they kill each other.
So you've seen a lot of death, and now you work for the state. What's left of the Lebanese government has now trained you to become a professional killer. So what happened?
Then one day, a call of God come to me. I want you to serve me.
Hold on. you're a killer right then. You're actually working for the government, and the call of God came on you.
I hear his voice many times. That I want you to serve me, I want you to be mine, and I refuse.
You mean an audible voice, like someone sitting next to you on the couch talking, or something different?
Sometimes, yes, sometimes in me. That, you know, even I have this anger, I have this depression, but at the same time, I feel I need somebody to help me. Hmm. And this voice was like a voice of peace, and God calling me, I want you to help me. But I refuse this voice many times, and one time I was discussing things with God, and I told him, I don't want you, I don't want to serve you, I want to live my own life, please, I don't want to hear your voice again. Hmm. And every time I go on a mission and I come back, a lot of people die with me, my friends, and I always ask God, why you protect me till now? What you want from me? Yeah. I even never heard it.
And all that time he was trying to tell you, but you were also saying, don't talk to me.
I was speaking with him and I said, don't talk with me. I was fighting with God. I was fighting with everything. You know, my life is all about fighting.
Yeah.
Everything fighting. You know, peace, escaping, hiding, fighting, military missions all the time. One time I stay far from my parents 1 year and a half. And I can't see them, I can't in contact with them because of the war, because I am in a very hard situation, fighting many militias, and we are in the middle, and a lot of rockets, and a lot of people die every day, every minute, a lot of people die. Most of my friends, they are dead, and this make more anger and more depression, because I love these people, they are my friends, we are God together, and... one time after it was like a rest time for me, and I sleep in my post. Yes.
Okay. You're back from doing a mission and you come back to your post.
Yes.
And then you have some time of rest.
I was sleeping, and usually in this time a lot of rockets come there, but I didn't wake because for me this is a normal life.
Right.
And if I die, it's my turn now.
Right.
This is how I live my life.
Most soldiers that go through that many missions eventually get to that point, don't they, where it's like, if your number's up, your number's up.
Yes.
And you don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yes.
And yet God is still speaking to you. So what happened there?
And this night, I hear a very hard explosion. Hmm. And I see all the soldiers are running. And I see my closest friend is running. And for me, if this guy is running, that means there's something dangerous more than our expectation.
And more than normal.
Yes. Okay. And I run and follow him, and I see that there's a putting explosion for us in a tank.
The tank is coming at you now?
there's a tank.
Okay.
And they put explosion in the tank. Some of the enemies come and put explosion in the tank, and it exploded.
So they blew up one of your own tanks.
Yes.
Okay.
And
so which means their people are inside the perimeter now.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, it's a very high sound voice, and the explosion, and it shake the place.
Yeah.
And one of the soldiers who are sitting on the tank, he's like night shift. He fly from the pressure of the explosion. Mm. And there's another tank also near this burned tank. And all of people come together, about 200, 250 people. It's a big flat, and a lot of people come to stop the fire. And the officer called me, Joseph, please, let's put the cables and move the other tank because of the fire, because there's...
Okay. So nothing else blows up.
Yes, yes. No, don't want to explode the others because a lot of rockets in it and...
Other ammunition inside there.
I'm laying down and put the cable, and I hear a very clear voice, Joseph, stand and leave here, this place now, there's another explosion.
Stand, say one more time.
He said, this sound was very clear.
Yes.
Joseph, stand from your place and leave now. There's another explosion.
So you're being warned by the Spirit of God himself to leave?
For me, I thought that there's a soldier calling me.
Okay.
But, you know, in this time, I can't understand if this is a soldier of God was calling me. But after that, I know that it was God.
Yeah. But during that time, though, you probably had fears about going insane, that you're hearing voices now.
Yes.
Okay.
And another time said, leave this place, please, because there's another explosion.
So God was telling you something was coming.
Yes. I stand up and run. In my mind that there's some of the soldiers know me and they want me to leave the place. And it come to my mind, go back to the rooms, and if there's somebody asleep, wake him. Mm-hmm. I stand up and I am running. And I be like in the back of the first tank who are burned. Mm-hmm. And there was a very high wall. And I hear a very big explosion happen, more than the first one.
Okay.
And I look beside me and see like all the people dead.
All of them?
All of them dead.
So some big bomb has now been dropped,
yes,
on the compound.
Yes, it's full of nails, full of glasses. It's cut all the people. Mm. And when I look beside me, I was really scared. All the people dead, about 200, 250 people, all that together. And I see the blood coming like, you know, like a river. You know, horrible. And I don't know what to do now.
We'll hear more of Bram's conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up your favorite browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, you can check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And go ahead and sign up for our email updates while you're at it. Oh, and if you have a minute, go ahead and take our partner survey. This is a great way for us to learn how to better serve you. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, I'd like to ask you to consider three things. First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. And second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the exciting reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We're 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the latest CD from gospel vocal trio Selah called Unbreakable as our way of saying thanks. To support Compassion Radio today, you can call 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. When you're there, just click on the top right mini menu icon and then click Donate. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Thanks a lot. Here's Bram with a closing word.
Hi, friends. I'm in Beirut this week, following some of the most inspiring people you'll ever meet, as they do incredible work. The gospel is going out with power here and redeeming people in amazing ways. In turn, they've been introducing me to the beautiful people that God has placed in front of them. Make sure to spend a few minutes at the Compassion Radio Facebook page to see some pictures and videos of these wonderful folks. I want to bring you these stories and interviews so that your faith will expand and burst forth with joy and powerful authority. That is our calling. Will you help us keep doing this very thing? Will you help us stay on the air and in the field, bringing you good news stories each and every day? We can't do it without your prayer and support, friends, and right now we need both. God has always inspired our Compassion Radio family to give in exactly the measure needed, and I'm counting on the fact that this is still just as true today. When you give, I know that God will be pleased, and the world will hear how much you love them. So let us hear from you today.
Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.